Avoidant people need you to actually leave them. Now listen, this doesn't sound like a compassionate perspective. It doesn't sound like, hey, but what about their people too? And the reason that they have avoidance is because of trauma or, you know, fractured attachments with their parents. 100%. We can contextualize all the reasons that people constantly have one foot kind of out the door in relationship. But at the end of the day, you're the one in relationship with them. And likely, if you're in a relationship with an avoidant person and you started out secure, you usually end up anxious. But let's be honest, most people who end up in relationship with avoidant people are anxiously attached. So for anxiously attached people, this is a massive area of growth. So let's look at, like, in a healthy relationship dynamic, this would be happening. Both people would be turning towards each other. But in an avoidant relationship dynamic, this isn't what's happening. This is what's happening. One person is moving towards and the other person is moving away. So when all of a sudden, this anxiously attached person, right? Look at, and by the way, I know my little stick drawings, not the best, but they're clear. You're going to learn a lot here. Anxiously attached people, if they stop doing this, there's now a space between here that has never existed. Now look, I had this realization in a relationship with my wife years ago when we were dating. Like, I wanted her, because I was more anxiously attached, I wanted her to come towards me, but she couldn't come towards me because I was always taking up all the damn space with my anxiously attached way of being. I was always chasing her, so she didn't have a chance to catch me. Now, here's the thing about anxious attachment and avoidant attachment. I'm going to break it down very simply. Anxiously attached people are afraid of space. Avoidantly attached people are afraid of closeness. So you have this double bind. One doesn't like there to be this distance, and the other one needs more distance, right? Like extra distance, because any little closeness, when this starts to close in, they start to freak out and then they run. So what has to happen, because it requires healing of both people in these relational dynamics, is the anxious person needs to take a stand. Now listen, if you're avoidant, I ain't throwing you under the bus. You already know that I'm right. You know that if I was like, hey, you need to stand up for yourself and actually say, like, no more of this BS. That's desperately what you've been craving. Someone who loves you enough to call you out on the ways that you run from vulnerability and love. Now listen, you might be a master, because avoidant people are masters at friends with benefits, situationships, one-night stands. And listen, it masquerades as confidence and awareness and self-worth, because our self-worth is easy to keep intact when we're not in relationship. But do you notice that that type of self-worth is fragile? It's very fragile. So for an anxiously attached person, we have to get comfortable with there actually being space between us and other people. This person has been desperate for someone to finally honor that they need space, right? That when this person's nervous system gets activated and they say, oh my gosh, like, you made a facial expression, you said something, you did something, I felt it, and you're like, what? I didn't even say anything. Like, oh my God, when I'm in a relationship, people get so needy, they get so emotional, because this person, from a nervous system perspective, doesn't know how to self-regulate. That means they don't know how to sit in their feelings without leaving themselves and pursuing. So this is very obvious in the early dating process, right? It's like, I'm not sure where I fit. They haven't messaged me in a bit, and we over-communicate because we haven't learned how to sit in the unknown. We don't know how to sit in the anxiety. You can learn to hold your capacity for that anxiety, to increase it, so that it doesn't cause you to act. So these people are always leaving themselves and actually going to other people's spaces often. And these people are staying to themselves. They're not allowing anyone in. Now, of course, healthy relating, as I drew at the very beginning, is two people who are actually able to operate in a relationship that is a space between them, and they are two people themselves. Now look, I know these drawings are very bad, but they make sense. So what has to happen, and why this person has to leave, or at least stand in themselves, because listen, an anxiously attached person and an avoidantly attached person, the true healing is just both of them standing still and turning towards one another. The challenge when you're in a relationship with an avoidant person is you can feel how their body is turned out. You can feel that. It feels like their body is sideways, like you're in a conversation with someone and they're kind of like leaning out a little bit because you could tell they need to go. This is the same energetic feeling of being in a relationship with someone who's avoidant. But listen, anxious people, you're not off the hook, because being in a relationship with you is like having someone on your shoulder constantly, having someone in your heart being like, yo, you want to communicate, want to talk more, want to do more, want to blah, blah, blah. I need you to manage all of my relational anxiety. I need you to take care of me instead of me take care of myself for you and you take care of yourself for me. This person needs to say, I stand now. I'm no longer leaving my center for you. I'm no longer getting out and chasing you and pursuing you. This is going to cause the anxious person to have to change their patterns. You're going to have to learn skill sets to help you regulate. Things like cold showers increase your capacity. They're not just cool, bro, awesome, viral things. They actually work because your body's going, I'm gonna die, and you're not gonna die. You're actually completely safe in that water almost all the time. So you wanna actually, that builds your capacity to monitor how you feel, right? That your body's going into this alert, but you're actually safe. So what you start to learn through meditation, through breath work, through hiking, through being in nature, is how to stand more still in yourself. Now, the reason the works, you want to say, hey, listen, if you can't stand still with me, if you can't meet these needs that this relationship has in order to create something sacred between us, then I got to go. And you might go, well, isn't that an ultimatum? Well, listen, sometimes boundaries are ultimatums. When you've been in this effery of a dance of like, oh my God, I'm going to chase you and you're going to run away and I'm going to chase you and you're going to run away. When you've been in that type of effery of a dance, you just get exhausted. And you might be like, I have anxiety, I have depression, I have all these things. Of course you do. Of course you do if you continue to relate to people who are inconsistent. Because here's the deal. If you continue to be in relationship with people who are inconsistent, you have to develop a belief in yourself that you're worthy of inconsistency. Now look, if we're really to explore where that comes from, it's probably because your parents were unreliable. It's probably because you had people who said they were going to show up and didn't, or they just never really showed up. Maybe you always wanted your dad to see you more or your mom to be more present to your emotional experience, and they didn't. Maybe you had to caretake everybody else. And maybe that if someone else isn't okay in your relationships, you're not okay. And that's why when someone has their foot kind of out the door, you leave yourself in order to get them. Because if you don't have them, you're not safe. Now, as an adult, that's not actually true. And this is part of the maturation process. That's why an adult says, I'm not going to dance in this crap anymore. I'm taking a stand. I'm no longer going to collude with you in playing small in our relationship dynamics. I'm not going to collude with the small part of you that is afraid of closeness. Because listen, if you keep colluding with them and they're distancing and running and you keep chasing them and you keep repeating all the same effing patterns, one, you won't be able to trust yourself relating to them. But two, you have to keep engaging in your small young self. Your wound is dancing with their wound. Now listen, the way out is to take that stand, and also if you say you're gonna leave, you leave. Otherwise, your boundaries are just suggestions. Your ultimatums are just suggestions. They're more of you collapsing your own needs, your own values, your own wants to keep other people. You leave the connection to yourself to be connected to them, and that's no way to live. So
if you are absolutely obsessed with wanting to understand how to create epic relationships, then what I'm about to share with you is going to blow your socks off. And that is that we just launched the Create the Love podcast. Now, how is it different? Well, one, it is purely focused on relationships. It is purely focused on developing the skill set to be exceptional at that. And since I know everyone's attention span has gone in the toilet, I made each episode 5 to 10 minutes, little espresso shots of relationship knowledge that you can implement in your life right away. So we've launched with 3 episodes ready for you to consume. You can get it wherever you get your podcast, the Create the Love podcast, or you can go to the link in the show notes. Go check it out. Go subscribe now. You are going to absolutely love it.